Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library Podcast, the DPPL. And to my left is
Robert Kitts.
And to my right,
Harrison Hoffman.
And I am Chris Lorenz. Welcome to our podcast, About 24. Now, this week was pretty light. It was a little slow. It was a little slow week.
A little bit slower than the premiere, but I guess you'll probably kind of expect that, you know, coming off of an action-packed week one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty action-packed.
Got to set stuff up for next week.
Right. The next time for next week was pretty serious. We can get to that later.
We'll get
to that one later.
Can't jump the gun.
Yeah.
All right. So we're here drinking some Men's Room from Elysian Brewery, you know, in honor of Yates last week having such a fun time in the Men's Room.
That's right.
Specifically Men's Room Red from that move that Simone pulled with the ice pick to the temple.
There was definitely some red in that Men's Room.
There was definitely red in that Men's Room.
I mean, that was just an intense kill. Just like,
whew. And then we learned this week that apparently that's the first time she's ever killed anybody.
Here's what's kind of weird about that, because, like, you know, that seemed like from that conversation with Naveed, her boyfriend, husband, some kind of close relationship. That was the first time she had killed someone. And, like, when Jack Bauer saw that kill, he was immediately like, oh, this is the work of a professional. Which I feel like Jack can pick out an experienced kill. So that was kind of weird.
So do you think she's lying to Naveed about that?
I mean, I think that there's a chance.
I mean, it could be. You got a good point. Like, that's just not a first kill. Like, that's just not it.
She is straight, cold-blooded, like, assassin. You know, she pulled that move on the train, cutting herself in the leg with the knife and spearing the blood on her face.
Cutting herself in the leg like that, just like...
Yeah.
She didn't even hesitate either. She's just like, what should I do? Jack Bauer's there. I know. I'm just going to cut myself in the leg right now.
This is like top level. Like,
it's definitely not her first time in the field at all.
Yeah. This is like Jack Bauer level moves you're pulling.
So what's the deal with the Naveed then? Because, you know, why do they have him around if they're lying to him and he doesn't seem super in on all their plan? Like, what's his connection to all this? Do we even have any idea yet?
I don't know. Well, so let's kind of back up and talk about Margot's sort of situation, how she's involved, I guess, Catelyn Stark, Margot. I actually got her last name somewhere here. Margot Al-Harazi, I think. And so I guess that she was just kind of a British woman, and then she was married to some, like, terrorist or something. Like, she got married to some kind of terrorist, and then, like... just got radicalized, and now she's
a true believer now.
Right. So her husband got killed by a drone strike or something, and now she's kind of out for revenge on the drone program, I guess.
And Jack was like, oh, Heller authorized the drone strike, so she wants revenge on Heller too.
Specifically Heller, right, yeah.
Yeah. You got that up.
I was going to say, if I wasn't worried it might confuse any listeners we have who don't watch Game of Thrones, I would really want to just give everyone in that house Game of Thrones names and not call them
names. Yeah.
I mean, oh, man.
It's good to mention, but I think we've got to refer to them.
Yeah.
Fake real names, whatever.
Fake real character names?
Which Game of Thrones character is Naveed? But that's, I guess, a question for a different podcast.
I mean, yeah. I feel like he's probably Littlefinger, though, right? Like, I feel like that's probably the closest. And I mean, I guess he could be Tyrion, too.
There's a lot of ways you could go with it.
There's a lot of ways you could go.
Yeah, I think we can.
We'll stick to 24 this week.
Yeah. I mean, the scene where Jack is, like, chasing down the girl through the streets. She's like, oh, I found this wig. Oh, she took her wig off. She looks different. You know, the whole, like, following the CCTV was pretty intense. I felt that was really cool.
She should have done a better job of hiding the wig.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's not Jack Bauer. That's, like, she was, like, Jack Bauer-esque, like, parts, but, like, leaving your wig out like that's just like
it's pretty surprising that she did that, because she was pretty pro with everything else, and then she's like, oh, let me just chuck this wig on top of this dumpster. Like, it just didn't really make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, and the dumpster was open too, so it wasn't like
she could have
jacked, like, went purposely looking at the dumpster. He was like, oh, look, there's this wig. I mean, like,
yeah, it seems like you want to kind of pop your disguise in your bag or something in those kind of situations, not just leave it around. Because she was actually not fully the person that they were looking for before that. And then kind of once Jack found the wig, he's like, this is definitely who we're looking for. But before, he's like, maybe it's her. Maybe there's kind of another player. So.
Yeah. It definitely seems kind of weird, because, like, that, like, pro move kill, and then you got that rookie move, and then you've got, like, the pro move actually getting away from Jack, like, later. I mean, they blame it on Chloe for, like, just, I don't know.
Spacing out.
She was spacing out, but, like, I don't think it was all Chloe's fault that she got away.
Yeah, Jack was pretty harsh on Chloe. Like, you lost her? How could you?
Yeah, definitely pretty harsh.
Should we talk about the Chloe revelations we got in this episode?
Yeah, take it away.
So, it turns out that Chloe... husband Morris and son Preston were killed in a car accident, although Chloe's convinced it's not a car accident, that they were targeting her family because they want to kill her because she knows what happened to Jack Bauer. And first of all, they didn't really explain how Chloe figured all that out, but it's pretty it goes a long way to explain sort of why Chloe is so different now than she was last time we saw her, and you know, how much things have changed for her.
I mean, yeah, it definitely explains why she gothed out. Like, you know, that's what happens. You get real sad, you gotta goth out.
Start wearing black eyeliner.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think they did explain it because they said that she was supposed to be the one taking her kid to soccer practice, but she didn't that day. So they were literally targeting her. We don't really know, you know, she knew what Jack did that day. I think
the whole targeting thing might just be paranoia. Like, I don't know.
Well, the interesting about that is it sort of happened before, because that's what happened. Another season where Jack was on the run while the season was off, they come back in the finale, and people who know the truth about Jack Bauer are being targeted has happened before. So either A, they're sort of reusing their old storylines, or Chloe's seen this before, so she's being paranoid, like you're saying.
I don't know if it's going to come up again. Like, they just brought it up, kind of sets Chloe's backstory, why she is what she is now. And I think they're just going to move forward. I don't really know if there's going to be any further clarifications on that.
So were Chloe's husband and son in previous seasons? Because I don't remember that at all.
The husband was definitely in some previous seasons.
Was he British or something? Like, yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah, he was kind of bald. Yeah.
I don't think we ever saw the son, but we definitely had a really good line where one season Chloe is helping some the African diplomat in season 7. And he says, oh, are you with the CIA? And she goes, no, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And he just gives her this, like, great look about, like, oh, my God, I'm so going to die because these people helping me are really not... not what I had in mind.
Oh no. And you know, her husband was an analyst or like a contractor at CTU or something like that for one season, something.
Yeah, he was a contractor. I think like they randomly had him like just working at CTU one season without really explaining, you know, why that was his job all of a sudden. But he definitely was around and then like not around in future seasons, sort of when they needed another character, they brought him in and stuff.
So is it more nepotism? Like last time we talked about Kim getting a job as an analyst at CTU as well?
No, he seemed like he actually knew some stuff, but
yeah.
I think the first time we met him, he was like kind of a jerk. And then all of a sudden, like later in a future season, he's like, oh, he's this super awesome guy who's helping us out at CTU. Great job, guy. And it's like, wait, what happened to you?
I mean, there was this great quote in this episode that Jack says to Chloe. He was like, I don't want to make you do anything. And you know, if Jack Bauer says that, you know, he doesn't mean I don't want you to do it. He means like, I'm going to make you do it. Like, this isn't like,
his words,
we're not joking around here.
His words said no, but his eyes said you better do it.
Yeah. He's like, Chloe, I know you got some shit, but I need you to do this right now. This is going to be a problem if you don't.
But like, if there's one person who like will not listen to your whining about all these horrible things that have happened to their family, it's Jack Bauer. He's like, you know, I know what you're going through and you really got to man up because I can speak from experience on this.
Totally.
Yeah, definitely seems to be what happened in that episode.
So after she got away, do we want to now talk about the weird terrorist family, or do we want to talk about them going back to WikiLeaks?
I mean, let's just talk about the weird family, I guess. It's just like, you know, you got Catelyn Stark in there, and it's just so awkward. She's like super terrorist, but like, she's just like
super terrorist.
I mean, I think you get qualified as super terrorist when you've already like kit.
Let's take a time out. So what's the line between terrorist and super terrorist?
Good question.
That is a very good question. I think that if you can take over a drone and like mass kill and have mass protests, I mean, you're like at the terrorist level when you take it to the next level where you're about to get 10 of them, you know, and you just gotta, I think you get the super level.
So one drone terrorist, 10 drone super terrorist. Yeah. Is that it?
That's I think that's the level. Well, more than one, but we're looking at 10 here.
Yeah, and they kind of come into that compound, and they, for some reason, so this dude has like, you know, 10 or 15 different monitors kind of up. Not Naveed. There's another guy.
That's Cat Stark's son.
Oh, that's the son. Okay.
Because they said, when they were talking about her British husband who died, they said she had two kids.
Right.
And then I think he called
brother and sister.
Simone sister.
Yeah. There was definitely a sister line in there.
Got it. So then they kind of walk in there, and the son kind of has like, you know, 10 or 15 monitors, and for some reason most of them are just kind of being used to display kind of a photo of the different places that they're gonna bomb. It's like, oh, I see that the targets are ready, and it's like, you know, all of the most important places in London.
Well, I mean, where else would you bomb? I mean, come on.
Right, for sure.
They clearly said, someone say, put all the London landmarks the American audience will immediately recognize on
right.
TV together. And then like, oh, they're the targets. Okay.
That makes sense. So do we think that they're actually, that this is a situation where they're actually planning on going through with bombing all these locations? Or is this kind of like a classic 24, like they're sort of, you know, going to threaten to bomb all these places, but they actually don't want to go through with it because they have some kind of other agenda? Or are they just straight going to murder a bunch of people?
I don't know. I mean, they did blow up LA, didn't they? Like,
that did happen.
Yeah,
that
was, so like,
I mean, not these people specifically, but there were other people,
I mean,
who did.
Like, 24 universe, they blew up LA. So, like, certainly
sure.
bad things happen.
But, like, are you saying that's more about the show letting it happen? But I think Harrison's asking more about Cat Stark's motivations.
Right.
And she seems real crazy. So I think she wants to just set off all the drones, personally.
She seems kind of crazy, but I don't know. I mean,
what's
I guess
Stark's
it depends
role
on what she's like.
Margot,
yeah.
I mean, Margot is definitely setting those drones off. If somebody doesn't interfere, Margot is like pushing the button.
Right, but what's her goal? Is she just trying to just kill a bunch of people? I mean, she seems kind of too smart to just be like, I'm just going to go kill a bunch of people.
I mean, she's trying to make a point at this point. Like, what are terrorists' real goals? To make a point. Like, they're not actually to, like, destroy the United States. Like, that's just not a thing that they can do. It's not an accomplishment that they can achieve.
I don't know. I think if you take over a whole bunch of drones and like kill the US president and a whole bunch of other people, you've done pretty well for yourself as a terrorist. Like, you don't need to be like, oh, I need another goal beyond that. Like, that's
right.
That's pretty up there, I would think.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's,
I mean,
pretty,
you do
good
have
one
to have some sort of philosophical goal. Like, it's gonna be like, you know, the United States spends all this money, so we're gonna take down like the Twin Towers or whatever. Like, it's just difficult to believe somebody that just like, I hate the United States. Like, what is your motivation? Like,
well, I think they've sort of set up that, you know, there's all these people that are in this show protesting the drone strikes. So it's like, you can have the drones as like a, you know, cause, quote unquote, but then she also just wants revenge. And so it dovetails that she can do it for both reasons at the same time.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that I think that's her motivation. That's what they're trying to get out of the show. I was just trying to ascertain if she has further goals. Like, once these 10 drone strikes happen, if they do, what is she going to do next?
But the real question is, of course, who has oversight over Margot and who is kind of funding that whole operation? Because there's always just layers on layers in 24.
I mean, yeah, we know the villain way too early in this. Like,
oh, yeah.
We're getting a good bird's eye view. I'd be surprised if they're here in, like, two episodes.
You think they're all going to go? Or do you think just, like, Naveen...
I mean, there's
in
at least half of them that are gone. Like, Margot may or may not be gone. This, you know, the daughter, I don't know. It could be, it's up in the air who's going to be there, but there's definitely going to be more people coming in.
I'll tell you one thing. I wanted a little more Chris Tanner in this episode, but there's basically no Chris Tanner involvement at all in this particular episode.
I guess we were wrong last week. We said the naval base was like 20 minutes outside of London because they were in the car quite a while. So I guess it took them a while to drive up.
I mean, I guess it's about an hour drive. So
I
we
guess
didn't
more like an hour.
Because I guess at the end of this episode, Chris Tanner was sort of arriving at the embassy where he's going to get questioned at the embassy. Right. Oh, yeah, because that's where Jack was going to.
Yeah.
And that's where they're holding the special parliament at the embassy.
No, so I don't think that was happening at the same place. That was happening in a different place, I think.
I think it was happening in a different place because they showed all the car, the SUVs roll up and okay. Heller.
I mean,
didn't.
That would make sense. It was just they were in that weird hall. It didn't really look like that should be where Parliament should be.
Right. I mean, that's definitely not the kind of main hall of Parliament.
So that's a question: Is that actually a real room that Parliament uses for certain functions, or did they just make that up to be like, oh, this looks like a fancy room? It looks pretty good.
That's a great question for our UK listeners. So if you're in the UK listening to this, let us know.
Yeah. So should we talk about the president storyline now? That's really boring. But I don't.
Yeah, there's not a lot to talk about. He's still going to give his speech, and Mark is still real mad about it, and Audrey thinks that they should let the president do what he wants, and yeah.
I mean,
Mark's a real idiot. Can we say that right now? Like, Mark's a real idiot. That. You know, the moment where he forges the president's signature on some presidential order is where I kind of lose touch with reality in that situation, because that was ridiculous. Who does that?
No one's gonna try to analyze that signature at all.
So was that order related to Jack Bauer somehow?
Yeah, it was. Okay. So that order, I think, was
to give to Jack Bauer to the Russians.
Ah.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, that's the order.
That makes sense.
Because he came in, the assistant came in and said, "Well, I looked up how to get the deal with the Russians in. It has to be an order from the president." So he like handed the papers over.
And he's like, "Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll take it to him."
Yeah, exactly. That's happening. He just waited for everyone to leave the room.
And then
gave his like devilish looking around, and then signed the damn paper.
I wish we knew what James Heller's real signature looked like, so we could see if he actually like tried to make it look the same, or if he just like wrote it down.
I mean,
and it's like, oh, that looks nothing like the president's signature.
I mean, it seems like he's done this before, because he just flipped the page and just went straight for it. He wasn't like, you know, let me compare it versus like a real signature. Like, he knows. Like, I think that he's done this before.
Probably. I mean, he's definitely set himself. I mean, we'll get to the mole hunt later, but like, as I said last week, I feel like I said this last week, that he might be on the top of that list.
I feel like, so I don't think that he's the mole, but I think that, you know, we're in prime territory. I mean, there's obviously kind of trouble in Mark and in Audrey town right now. So I think that there's kind of a prime situation setting up. When Audrey finds out that dude forged that signature, that dude's going to get booted, and Jack's just going to be right back in there, I think, is what's about to happen.
What do you mean? Jack's not allowed anywhere. Everyone wants him.
Right, but through circumstances, you know, down the line for the season, like, Jack's going to have a relationship with the president, because Jack only takes orders from the president of the United States.
You mean what happened in This Is the Next Time? Or right. He mentioned it earlier. It was like, I need to talk. Then I'm going to talk to the president.
Yeah, we should talk about that, where, like, Jack goes back to...
Yeah, we have to talk about this, yeah.
But I was going to say that... Harrison's absolutely right that, you know, they're definitely just laying the dominoes for, oh, Audrey, what are you doing in this room? Hey, I'm back. I'm alive. Let's make out. You know, that's definitely happening at some point.
100%. Because it is, you know, it is clear that Audrey is not liking this Mark fella. And she actually has probably my favorite line of the episode, where she says that, you know, oh, hey, Mark, you're always just making everyone's decisions for them, like right after he signed the presidential order. And like, she was unaware, but she was complaining just about him always making decisions for her. But I thought that was really nice.
And he was all like, what? What do you mean?
What? I'll do that. I'm just going to make this one point. That's a terrible nose job. And I'm just going to.
On who?
On the president's daughter.
On Audrey.
It's just a terrible nose job. Just going to put that out there.
Is that distracting you in the episode?
It was definitely distracting. I'm like, oh god.
This was it more distracting this week than last week?
Yeah, for sure.
So did the nose change?
I don't think so.
Maybe it could have been a makeup issue.
I mean, it could have been. It definitely, lighting. The nose was a little bothersome. And then, so should we go back to Jack's storyline this point?
We probably
should. Well, let me get one more comment on the present situation.
Because for sure, go for it.
It's the worst storyline. We gotta talk about it.
We have to give another.
We gotta talk about the president for a second. I thought it was weird that Audrey is just constantly around when like all these important decisions and things are like being made, and like she's kind of being made aware of them. Like, you know, right after that dude drops off that presidential order, she's like, oh, get him to sign what? Get him to look at what? Like, why is she involved with that? She's the president's daughter. She's not like an advisor to the president. It was super weird.
Well, she is kind of I think she, like, in older seasons, she was kind of like an advisor to, what was he? Secretary of Defense. So she kind of has a background to help that. And she's like the wife of the chief of staff. And so I guess I don't know about Chief Seth, but like definitely presence wives seem to help them out in real life. That's not a TV thing. So maybe like the Chief of Staff's wife also like is doing stuff all around the
world. I mean, it also, it's the Chief of Staff's wife and the president's daughter. And those are the only two people in like the cabinet or anyone else around. So like,
yeah, there are no other advisors at all.
I mean, I guess that gets you on the first of the list.
There's,
really,
there's Chief of Staff Mark, there's Audrey, and then there's Mayhem, the guy who looks like the Mayhem guy, and that's it. Like, those are the only people in the president's entourage that we really know about right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's weird. I feel like they're not introducing more people because that would get confusing. But it's odd for the president to only have like three people and not one of them not even be a cabinet member or like anyone like else involved.
I mean, like, I guess that maybe not everyone makes the London trip. Like, there's probably some people back in the White House, right?
I'm sure. I mean, that's why they can get away with it, right? Because it's like there's just not another cabinet member coming in every 5 seconds. It's like they're in London, so there's no one else to come. But
I guess it's kind of a non-standard president
situation.
I feel
like they have like a conference room set up with everyone's like, you know, laptop or like iPad with their face on it, and like having like a nice round table meeting.
Cisco telepresence.
Yeah,
that like might still happen. There's still time.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you gotta have the War Council, right?
Bring in the vice president.
Oh man,
it's Wayne Palmer. No,
oh my god. Oh, if Wayne Palmer, because we don't know who the vice president is. Like, there's a chance that it's Wayne Palmer. Is the president allowed? Former president allowed to be a vice president?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess you could probably do that, right?
I feel like that happened.
I'm not sure if Wayne Palmer was one or two terms.
We don't even know if Wayne Palmer's alive.
That's true.
I mean, a president could definitely be a vice president. It, like, that's not in the, what is it, 17th Amendment or whatever it is?
It's one of those ones.
I'm unfamiliar.
The only one I know for sure is the 25th Amendment. That's the one they talk about in 24 all the time.
Right, right. Okay, we can move on for the president thing now. I just wanted to get that last little bit cleared up.
I mean, both of us tried to transition, so I feel like you have to do the transition.
I'm going to transition it now. So now we're looking at Jack actually saying that, you know, he needs to go and interrogate the drone pilot, something like that.
Well, no, I feel like what Jack said was he's like, I have some information. I'm going to go tell the president personally. And it's like, that's
kind of a
big leap. Well, like, I know that's Jack Bauer's move, but like when you're like a wanted international fugitive and there's like a mass protest outside where the president is, and Jack's just like, I'm just going to stroll up, make me some fake IDs. I'm going to go in just like see the president and let him know what's going on.
Well, it's a two-step thing because he's not where the president is right now, right? I think we decided that they're not at the president's not at the American embassy.
But I don't think Jack knew that.
So I think that my understanding is that Jack is going to try and collect the flight data.
Yeah, he's trying to get the flight data.
And then deliver the flight data directly to the president. Which, I mean, they already checked the guy's flight key in the previous episode, so I'm not sure what they're kind of hoping to find. I'm not sure if when they cross-reference that with whatever they're doing back at WikiLeaks, if there's kind of something that'll happen.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to be just like Kate in the first episode, where she's like, oh, look, they didn't look at the timestamp. What? And then Chloe's going to look at that flight key and be like, oh, well, look at the something.
Yeah.
It's like, this has been forged.
Yeah, and then Jack's going to go try to slam it down on the president's desk. He's going to bust into that parliament meeting. Which, like, the president will still be getting berated by parliament, and Jack will come in, save the day.
Definitely. It's definitely, like, some weird storyline they're trying to set up with, he's going to get the keys, but then in the next time, like, you see him talking to the guy, and it's just like, and then, I mean, they're trying to set up this big set piece, because then the CIA gets there at the same time.
Well, I don't know if we should get to that now, but, like, clearly the plan to get into where the guy is didn't quite go according to plan. So Jack, I think, next week's going to have to improvise a little bit.
Well, he's already done some improvisation this week. I want to talk about that.
I mean, it's crazy that there's all these cameras everywhere where they're not linked to, like, a database to see that this is Jack Bauer, like, walking into the embassy right now.
I mean, to be fair, it's just the CIA. Well, it's just the CIA. It's just the CIA looking for Jack Bauer. Like, the British, like, what, MI6, is that, I don't know, whatever, British intelligence agency. I'm pulling out a little James Bond again.
Well, we are in London, so it's
they're not, they're, yeah, or like the Metropolitan Police or whatever. Like, they're not looking for Jack Bauer at this point. They don't know about the Jack Bauer situation.
No, but everyone, there was a quote in the first episode how, like, there's, what, eight intelligence agencies are looking for him. Like, it's not
just, oh, really?
It's not just the U.S. and Russia.
Right, but, like, they, like, here's the thing. They don't have, like, every single, you know, closed circuit camera in the world running facial recognition on Jack Bauer all the time.
I mean,
like,
you just wouldn't have that. Outside the U.S. Embassy, I guarantee you they're running facial recognition.
Specifically on Jack Bauer?
No, just, like, just on everyone? The FBI database.
You know, you say that, but I also feel like, why aren't they running facial recognition on Jack Bauer all the time? Because I feel like that's what you need to do.
I guess
if you want to catch him,
if you want to catch him, you do have to do that. But that just seems like a lot of resources, you know.
I mean, when you're as wanted as Jack Bauer's right now, and let's be honest, if the U.S. wants you, you're on like everyone's wanted list. There's a very few countries that are like, oh, you're on the U.S. wanted list. Come on over, like.
Right. I guess that doesn't mean that everyone's just actively looking for the guy, though. I mean, except for the U.S. and Russia, who clearly are.
It's the U.S. Embassy.
It is the U.S. Embassy. You're right about that.
He's just strolling up to the U.S. Embassy right now.
Yeah. With, and like, crazy. With his sunglasses on, which like seemed to be his attempt at disguise, with his aviators on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's trying to pull the Superman there.
Trying to pull the Superman?
I mean, reverse okay. Superman, because he had the glasses on as Clark Kent, and not honest.
True. Okay, so let's talk about this embassy situation. So, essentially, he's trying to get in there to do something with Chris Tanner. Chris Tanner? Yeah, Chris Tanner. And like, I'm not 100% sure what flight key something something. So he has WikiLeaks people forge some kind of U.S. Embassy identification and like real quick, like in like 15 minutes, maybe less.
I mean, I'm sure they've had some experience.
Maybe, I guess. But like they know how to do that immediately. So then Jack is kind of in line, the embassy.
I like that there's to get in. Right beside the like almost riot-like protest. There's like a nice orderly line to get in.
Where like there's this like it seems like there should be like barricades and like, you know, riot here and people holding these crowds back. And Jack just kind of pushes through a couple of people and just strolls on up to that line.
I mean, they make it look pretty big, but it doesn't. There's like a 4-person deep like protest. It's not like.
Can we talk about the protest for a second? Like the people just holding up like signs with skulls on them. Like what was that? What was that whole situation about? It was a very weird protest.
I think they were like had to rush it in the prop department. Be like, we need lots of signs that look like protests. Or like, I don't know what like looks angry from afar. Well, draw a skull on it. Yeah, okay.
We have all these signs left over from the Punisher movie. Yeah, let's just bring those in.
It's probably just left over from some other random thing. They probably didn't make any of those. They're just like something left over. Well,
some of them they made. There were ones that said like James Heller on them. Yeah, so they made those ones.
And well,
like,
clearly, you have
where
to
the actual protesters like mobilized pretty quickly because that shit with the drones happened like a couple hours ago, and they had signs with Heller's photo printed on and stuff. Like those people got down to Kinko's quick.
Well, they were protesting before that happened.
Yeah, they were already protesting drones.
Yeah,
but now the crowd is growing.
I feel like it's escalated, and new signs have been produced though. Like I feel like we haven't seen a bunch of these signs.
I mean,
before.
If you go to a protest, you gotta have some blank signs. You gotta fill those in.
Yeah, no, but like there's like printed photos of the president on there now.
Well, maybe there was a website to go to. Like, hey, if you're coming to the drone protest, print off these signs. And then everyone who's like got mad just went to there, and they're like, oh, I'll print off some signs.
Yeah, here's the resource pack.
I think we're a little deep here, guys.
Here's the resource pack.
I think we're a little deep.
Get down to Kinko's, make some signs.
We got to make a Kinko's podcast?
Oh.
All right. Well, there's another thing we haven't touched upon at all is the CIA storyline.
Can we talk about Jack Bauer embassy situation, then we'll kind of
circle back to the CIA?
We'll circle back on that one.
Yeah, we'll circle back.
Sure.
Will we circle back? I mean, we're a little deep in this. Like, we can finish the storyline as long as we don't go deeper into the drone.
We can talk about CIA if you want, but
we can talk about how he improvises his way into the embassy.
Yeah, exactly.
But so we talked about that he was getting these this ID for the embassy. I really like that the head of WikiLeaks was like telling him how rude he was and he didn't want to help him, and then Jack just says please, and the guy's like, okay, fine, I'll help you.
Right, but right,
begrudgingly.
But the reason he said that he would help him is because he knew he was about to dick him over like in a couple minutes and get him arrested.
That's true, but like why make a big deal about, oh, you're being so rude to me, and then he says please, and then he's like, okay, like that's when he decided to dick him over.
Yeah, I that's just kind of that guy's attitude in general. I think he's just,
I mean, it is really weird, like that whole like, you are WikiLeaks, you like to get data from the government and release it to the public. And then what happens when Jack Bauer shows up on your doorstep? Like, it's like a really interesting situation. And it's like, I feel like it's really hard to understand, like, what's going through, like, their heads in terms of, like...
Right, because these people aren't used to running tactical operations and things. Like, that's not really kind of their game. So this is kind of all new to them, I think.
I mean, it's like reluctant CTU right now. It's definitely like CTU for Jack Bauer, and like clearly they're not having it.
He's trying to make his own CTU out here, for sure.
So then when his badge doesn't work, he just runs into the crowd.
The WikiLeaks guy tells one of the tech people to change a bit of information on the badge to screw him over at the thing. Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, the army guy says, "Whoa, this is wrong." And then Chloe tells him to get out of there. And Jack runs into the crowd. And he's just like...
Well, before he ran into the crowd, he ran to the cop.
Oh, that's right.
And the cop was like, "Hey, you got to stop." And Jack just decks him and steals his gun.
So did Jack not have a gun because he wasn't going to be allowed to bring that into the embassy, I guess?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, if Jack wants to bring in the gun to the embassy, he'll bring a gun to the embassy.
Well, he did.
Yeah, he's currently doing that.
I mean, that wasn't the plan, though.
Right, for sure.
And so Jack's plan to get in the embassy after the wait in line thing didn't work is just start shooting people and incite a riot when they've opened the gates, let some car in, and then just have all these random people run to the embassy, which doesn't seem like it seems like there's going to be a lot of negative consequences from that. And I'm not sure that was the best move.
I mean, I feel like Jack's kind of I feel like Jack's kind of trying to create a chaotic situations that he can get in, though. So I think that's kind of what he wants. Like, that's necessary, right?
It's definitely what he wanted, but like, what are all those random protesters going to do, like, inside the U.S. embassy?
I don't know. I feel like most of them are not, they're just going to get like tackled and arrested pretty quick.
I feel like the army would have taken care of this a lot better.
There would have been people with like machine guns or some kind of weaponry to prevent these people from storming the embassy, essentially.
For sure.
Even water cannons at a minimum.
Yeah, rubber bullets, just tear gas, anything, really. Like, there was no resistance. There was, like, one or two dudes who were just trying to, like, tackle a couple guys, and, like, that was it. Like, some guy, like, you know, spin moved around one guy, and he's just in the embassy. It was weird.
I mean, especially with the guy coming in, the drone pilot, and it's just like...
In protests, things would be stepped up for sure.
There would be lots of people out.
I also don't really know why Jack had to shoot anyone. Like, he could have just shot at the ground, and the sound of gunfire would have done pretty much the same thing. But he was shooting people in the kneecaps. Like,
I mean, there was definitely some like leg shots. I don't know. Was there a kneecap in there?
I mean, it was in the kneecap area. I mean, Jack only goes for the kneecaps. It's the best place to shoot someone.
I mean, probably. I don't know. Here it's pretty painful. All
right. So anyway, Jack incites this riot. He's kind of into the embassy, and that's kind of all we see of that. We can talk in a minute about kind of the next time, but we should get back to that, to the CIA sort of storyline before we do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of should have pulled this in earlier, but...
it's fine. Yeah. We got a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. So this episode's all like starting with Kate interrogating the heroin dealers, which they're CIA. They shouldn't be interrogating UK citizens. They don't really have the rights. So like that comes in. And the head of the CIA there tells him to leave, right? And, of course, can't. You got to figure out what's going on with Jack Bauer. Why is he here? So they kidnap the guy and then drag him into an alley where all the heroin addicts are and, like, leave him in the car but, like, not open the doors. Like, it's weird.
So how did they know that this dude had beef with these guys and they're going to be like hanging out? Did somebody like call to arrange that, like, "Hey guys, we're about to bring your enemy over. Just come hang out in this alley"?
Well, I got the impression that was like a gang hangout.
Oh, yeah.
I heard the really loud music. And so I was like, I feel like Kate was on the phone with her goatee guy from last week and was like getting some info, and they're like, "Oh yeah, he's got beef with this gang that always hangs out over here," and they just drove up and there's like gang people hanging around outside.
Yeah. And then essentially they're like, "Hey, you gotta either tell us stuff or we're gonna let these guys murder you," and just kind of look the other way on it, right? I guess that's kind of what happened.
So these guys are just gonna go in, pull the guy out of the front, the back seat, and then not do anything to anyone else in the car?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Like, Kate seemed pretty confident that they were not going to harm the CIA operatives that were here and then just take the one guy and be done with it, which I'm not sure that's how it works when you start forcibly ripping people out of cars, but I guess I've never done it.
Or if they brought, like, guns out, like, I don't know exactly, like, rolling the window down so you could see who he was, or, like, giving vantage point to shoot him. Like, I don't.
What if they just shot up the whole car?
Yeah, I mean, assuming it's a CIA car, so I'm assuming it's bulletproof.
That's probably true.
I mean, that's probably a given.
I guess that's why they were confident, like, oh, bulletproof car. We're good.
There's not just an angle from, you know, outside that, like, window I've rolled down to me at all, you know.
But then, so they get the info out of him that he was hiding Yates, and Yates knew something about Tanner, and so they start putting it together, and they decide to also go to the embassy, because that's where Tanner is, to go talk to him, see if he knows anything about Yates.
Yeah, which is weird, because you feel like the CIA already would be involved in this whole thing. Like, it's not like, oh, now the CIA got some random tip, so we're going to now talk to the drone pilot that attacked, you know, six. Like,
well, Heller was making a point that he was giving Tanner over to the British. So maybe they were like, whoa, 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 don't hand him over to the British just yet. We got to talk to him first.
I mean, that should have already happened. The CIA should have already been interrogating the guy. Like, if all the people, the UK, like, you've got the army and then you've got the CIA because he's in foreign territory. He killed foreign nationals. So, like, you got to know, like, why he did it, what's going on, you know, who did he actually kill? Like, you actually have to interrogate the guy.
I guess that's true. But anyway, they're like, oh, well, we'll go take care of it.
So then this leads us to having the CIA, Jack Bauer, and protests, and the president all in, like, the same place.
We don't think the president's there, but Tanner's there.
I mean, Tanner's there. There's some stuff about to happen. I mean, stuff starting to happen. Who knows? The next week's probably might be boring. It's just like the first 5 minutes, stuff happens, and then
it seems like there's a lot happening next week.
There was so much stuff in the next time. It's like Jack Bauer's taking hostages. Like, they're clearly in that embassy situation. I feel like Chris Tanner is going to be like an integral part of the plotting. I feel like he's going to be buddy cop time with Jack Bauer, I think.
Oh man, is that who they set up season 10 with? Is Chris Tanner season 10 Jack Bauer?
I don't know, but like, I feel like, you know, Jack Bauer is going to have to team up with Chris Tanner to like prove his innocence. Like, I think that there's going to be something happening there, because it seems like they're setting him up to be a big character and he hasn't had a huge role yet.
So two terrorists together is going to free both of them somehow?
Yeah, I mean, two terrorists.
I mean, Jack
Bauer
is considered a terrorist. He's like, he's wanted by the CIA and everyone.
No, totally.
And you, Chris Tanner leaves. That's pretty indicting to like him actually killing those people on purpose.
Right, but like you heard Jack when he's somehow in the room with Tanner in the next time, he's somehow in the room with him, and he's like classic Jack Bauer's like, yeah, I'm your only hope. I'm your only way out of this now. Whatever kind of thing. So I assume that they're going to be sort of teaming up.
And, like, Jack knows from experience that he can bust prisoners out and be in a lot of trouble. And then he talks to the president. It's all good.
Yeah, it's kind of what we talked about last time. You can commit as many crimes as you want, but as long as you're kind of in the right or of proving yourself innocent at the end of the day, all good. All is forgiven.
Yeah, I'm sure in L.A. they feel the same way.
Sure, in L.A. they feel the same way?
Just an L.A. suburb, not actual L.A.
Well, I mean, if you were in L.A., I mean, I don't think you'd be.
No, they're fine. All right, so that wraps up our talk of the episode, and I guess that gets us to Kill of the Week, but it's kind of a melancholy Kill of the Week in that there was none, was there?
No kills this week. I mean, Jack killed a couple kneecaps, but that's really...
I guess Jack killing the kneecap is the Kill of the Week.
I guess that has to be. In absence of an actual kill.
Yates again. So, I mean, I think my Kill of the Week still goes to Yates.
In the previously on 24 segment?
Can't give the Kill of
no,
the Week
no,
to the
Jack
previously.
Saw him in the men's room. And, like, you got a nice view of the blood.
Yeah, that was kind of just dead body of the week, though.
I mean, really.
I didn't see the kill.
There was no kill this week.
Yeah, so yeah, it's got to be...
Kat Stark killed all our innocence when she was just watching the video.
Oh, man.
That was so weird. We didn't even talk about that.
We just talked about Kat Stark being real weird and then left it at that. But that, I think that was her... I think she just kept upping the ante of how weird she was. And that was, like, the pinnacle.
I mean, Kat Stark needs to make sure that they made love. Like, they need to... She needs to know.
I mean,
she needs to know that the marriage is true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that reveal was mostly just that Margot, I'm going to start calling her Margot.
What? Who
is that?
That Margot had heard that conversation where Navid was kind of shaky on the whole operation. That's kind of what that reveal was. And then it's just, I mean, adds the creepy fact that she watched, you know, her daughter and this guy have sex, which is super weird. Also, when they come back to that shot of, like, you know, post-sex and, like, the guy's, like, expression, like, when he's laying in bed, was, like, the weirdest expression. I don't really know.
He's so conflicted.
He was very conflicted. He's like, yeah, I just had sex. I'm about to kill, like, millions of people. It's a weird day. I don't know.
And also, was that, like, 5 minutes later after we saw them, like, starting to undress?
It was real fast.
It was definitely a quick one, but to be fair, you know, that guy, you know, hadn't seen his wife in, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah, this three or four weeks.
A lot of pent up sexual energy.
Gotta do a better job than that.
There seemed to be some pent up sexual energy between Margot and him at the same time.
Right, yeah.
Were they banging? Was that happening? And then it kind of
didn't seem like that afterwards.
But that scene itself was just like. Definitely some weird tension going on here.
Definitely in that scene where first Naveed wouldn't kiss Simone, you know, that was kind of weird. And then there was like that weird tension between Margot and Naveed. And I wrote down in my notebook, Naveed and Margot banging ? And like, I was like, I definitely thought that was happening.
Think we have this answer that it was a no, but like there was a lot of tension.
Totally.
But now I feel like that was all setting up Margot knowing Naveed is not really in with the plan, and he's definitely dead next week. Like,
oh, he has to be dead.
So does Margot kill Naveed herself, or does she like manipulate someone to kill him for her?
I mean, it could be Simone. Is that her name?
Simone, yeah.
Yeah, it could be just like, you know, Margot telling Simone, yo, you got to do it. You know, are you in or out? You got to prove yourself here.
Could be.
I mean, because, I don't know, Margot's a stone cold killer for sure. So I could see her taking Naveed out and then Simone being really distraught and conflicted with the whole operation at that point. And there being a little more drama there, I think.
I mean, it's probably like more clearly going that way because it's like that's how just a typical setup would be, right?
Right.
Like, oh, let's set up this love interest and then let's kill the guy because he's not like whatever. And then, you know, then there's a lot more tension between Margot and Simone, which may be the downfall of Margot. Oh my God.
So much tension. So maybe a future kill of the week. We can only hope.
Maybe.
I really hope Margot is the, what's the opposite of the receiving end of the kill of the week at some point. I feel like she's going to really do something crazy to someone.
She's going
to
ice someone.
We need more Simone-like kills in the show.
Totally. I mean,
so what's our final verdict? Is the kill of the week the kneecaps or our innocence?
I mean, I'm voting for kneecaps because anytime Jack Bauer's shooting kneecaps, I'm all in.
I think I'm going kneecaps too.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to go with the kneecaps.
And just overall, the body count this season is very low. I think we're only at about 4 deaths total this season. It's pretty low.
Well, we had Jack kill a couple people. And then there was the people killed by the drone, which was four people, right?
Yeah, so I guess we're probably closer to like 10.
It's still lower than usual.
Did Jack kill anyone? I feel like there's a lot of people.
Jack killed those people in that apartment.
No, but there was a good amount of them.
You think none of them are actually
dead?
There
was a good amount of them still out there when they were interrogating them. Like, I think they're trying to go with Jack hasn't killed anyone.
But
yet.
I feel like the ones that were still out there were the ones that were, like, running around looking for the guy.
Right.
I mean, we might have to watch that scene again, but I don't think that he, like, killed anyone.
It seemed like he killed a bunch of people when that happened.
Yeah,
but you see
the guy that, like, got his cut through his throat cut is still alive. He's fine.
Well, it was a rope burn. He didn't, like, get his throat cut.
I don't know what that rope burn was from.
Do you know what that was? That was the guy that was the distraction on the closed circuit camera.
The guy who he like hung from the thing?
Yeah.
That was it.
So he hung a guy in a non-fatal way, which
I don't know how you do that.
You can do. And so, yeah, so they cut him down, but he has the rope burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? But you're right. I feel like Jack Bauer's going out of his way not to kill anybody. And I think that'll come up later.
That's usually kind of his general MO. Like, if he doesn't have to kill someone, he'll, you know, sleeper hold him or kind of knock him out, stuff like that. I also think we saw in the next time that it
might be taking a turn next week. I guess we'll see.
Jack Bauer is running around a U.S. embassy with a handgun, and it's about to get real in a second.
All right, so should we go with Mole Hunt?
Yeah, what are you guys thinking on Mole Hunt right now?
So my main guys are Mr. Cross.
Who's Mr. Cross?
Or Adrian,
the head of WikiLeaks.
Head of WikiLeaks,
okay.
And then we've got the chief of staff. I feel like he's the big bad guy.
Do you think he's working with Margo?
I think he's the one controlling Margo.
No, man.
I'm just putting it out there.
How is he going to escape the drone blast?
I don't know. He's gonna go to some bunker or go out. He'll know where to go. But, like, I think he's the guy.
Well, maybe he's doing the thing we talked about earlier where they don't actually want the drones to go off. They want to use the drones for something else. Maybe he wants the threat of the drones to, like, be like, oh, we need the base and, like, do some move like that.
I mean, it could be. I feel like it's a play for him to be president. That's what he wants to be.
I mean, how is that going to result in the chief of staff being president? How's that move going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, he's going to kill the president and the vice president.
I mean,
but
that
he's got control of drones. Why can't
he? He's still not the president if he kills the president and vice president. Yeah, I mean, I haven't read the Constitution lately, but that I think that'd be Speaker of the House is next in line for the vice president.
He's definitely in line. He's like
40. No.
I don't think the chief of staff is in line.
The chief of staff is not an elected official. He's not in line for the presidency, yeah, like,
well,
at all.
Cabinet members aren't really elected either, but I'm pretty sure the chief of staff is.
Yeah,
not
that's
in line.
True. I guess.
But like, if there was a drone threat and he, like, saved the day, then he's a hero, and maybe that sets him up to be president in the future.
Next election, right?
When he's going head-to-head with Wayne Palmer in the next election.
Yeah, I mean, like, generally people who are sort of a chief of staff kind of thing aren't usually politicians. They're kind of, like, strategy guys. They're not usually kind of, you know, actual elected
That's true. That's
politicians,
a good point.
Really.
I mean, well, who do you think the mole is? What's
Harrison, what are you thinking?
I don't know. I actually don't really have a good, kind of pulse on the mole thing right now, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know. Rob, do you have any thoughts on it?
I actually put a lot of thought into this week.
Oh, okay.
So, I was trying to think that last week we had Kate and we had Eric, who were real hostile to each other and for no good reason. And so I tried to think, like, how is that going to resolve itself at some point? So it's like, okay, let's say one of them is the mole. So then I was like, maybe Eric's the mole, but that seems kind of obvious. This, like, obvious guy who's, like, the new guy who's, like, being weirdly hostile is the mole. So I tried to think, okay, let's say Kate's the mole. And it didn't really seem like it at first. But then I tried to think about it. And I'm like, okay, how does it hold together if we say Kate's the mole? So the first thing is there was her husband who was, like, a traitor and was giving secrets away. So I'm like, okay, so she was actually in on that. And maybe her husband was innocent and he was her fall guy for whatever was going to happen. And then she's thinking about, oh, you know, she's, because of this thing with her husband, she's being sent back stateside. She's packing up the desk. She doesn't seem that happy about it. She also doesn't seem super like, oh, well, I'm going to fight this. This is like what's going to happen. So let's say she's on Team Cat Stark, Team Margo, and she's helping out. And so she knows she can go back stateside in a week and then hang up the big mission accomplished banner in her office there because the whole drone thing is going to happen today. Everything's going to be good. Problem solved. And then she hears, hey, they're tracking some kind of high-value target. And she's like, oh, no, have they found Margo? Are they going to take Margo out? And she goes to find out about it and sees it's almost as bad. It's Jack Bauer. And she knows the only thing now that can stop Margo is Jack Bauer. So she starts tasering people and pulling all kinds of moves to try to get Bauer. And now I was curious because, like, at the end of the episode last week, Jack tells her, hey, I'm trying to stop an attack on the president. You should stop hunting me and start trying to work on that. And this week, she doesn't mention that to anybody. She's just like, oh, we got to get Jack Bauer and we got to stop him. So maybe that's setting up for Kate to actually be the mole, and Kate's been helping Cat Stark all along.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, there is that scene where, you know, with the heroin guy, and, like, it doesn't seem like she needs to know any information then, right?
Right.
I mean, I guess it was trying to find out where Jack Bauer was, which I guess she doesn't know where he is.
That's, like, the only thing she doesn't know, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of good points there. I think one thing that kind of is always suspicious is about every 20 minutes in the show, somebody has to bring up the fact that she didn't catch that her husband was dealing with the Chinese. And, like, that happens, like, they've mentioned that, like, 15 times in the show, and, like, yeah, they're really trying to hammer that into your head that, like, for some reason, out of character, she couldn't catch her own husband doing this thing. So I think that there's definitely something there.
I mean, Simone and Kate may have gone to the same, like, terrorist training group, you know, learning the ropes. You know, there's some pretty good moves from both of them.
So do you know what Kate's background is, and if she's obviously been stationed in this sort of London CIA office for a while. I think that's, do we know anything else about her?
I don't think we know much else other than she had this husband who is now like in some secret prison somewhere.
Yeah.
Guantanamo, probably.
Could be. Well, he's a U.S. citizen, so maybe not.
Yeah, yeah, because that stopped anyone.
Oh, we're getting political now.
All right, dialed back.
Got a little excited.
So yeah, so that was my new theory I was trying to come up with, and so that's my take for this week. And part of my goal is to have a new crazy theory every week, so when it actually happens, I can say I called it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean this one seems reasonably kind of feasible. I mean, she definitely has some skills. Seems like she might have some motivation. And her not telling, you're right, her not telling people that Jack said, hey, I'm trying to prevent an attack on the president, is crazy shady. Like she definitely should have told somebody about that. Like, even if it's just, you know, whoever her partner is now. Eric. about that, then, I don't know, she probably should have told somebody.
All right, anyone have anything else to say?
I think that pretty much covers it.
All right. So I think that'll end it. So we're the DBPL on Twitter, and we're at facebook.com/the DBPL. And you can find us on iTunes.
We made it on iTunes this week. What?
Yeah, if you could rate us on iTunes, that'd be really good. If we can get ourselves on some sort of like new and upcoming, that'd be awesome. You know, I think that we're doing really, really good job. We should... So
you should try not to laugh as you say that.
Really? I should? All right. Harrison, do you want to plug anything?
Any plugs?
Any plugs?
I don't think I really have any plugs. If you want to follow me on Twitter, Twitter name's at Harrison Hoffman. You can follow me there.
I guess you can follow me at Rob Kitts. And I guess we can plug the Elysian Brewing Company for supplying us with some fine men's room red for this day.
Yeah, and for next week's 24 episode, we're going to try to kind of come up with a 24 themed drink a little bit ahead of time so you guys can drink along with us as you watch next week. So be on the lookout for that. And if you have any ideas for what we should be drinking next week, put it on the comments, you know, on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, and let us know who you think the mole is, and we'll hit on it next week.
Post all your crazy mole theories.
We need all the crazy mole theories.
Mole, mole, mole.
And you can follow me on Twitter at CLorenz2, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.